Oh, my prayer and my hope is indeed that we are leaning on those everlasting arms. Here over the last several weeks, we've been talking about or trying to get our hearts and our minds to be comfortable under the wings, under the feathers of our Lord. And in that thought, in that process of thought, there are several things that came to my mind. And as I was thinking about it this week, being confident and living in contentment. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are content. Amen. When you are in Christ Jesus, when you're leaning on those everlasting arms, amen, you are confident. No matter what happens to you, you can rest assured that you are in the midst of where He wants you to be. And the thing I like about that, being confident and content in Christ, it has nothing to do with your feelings. Has nothing to do with what is happening to your external body. It's all what's happening on the internal of you. I have learned to be content. We're going to talk about that. I've learned to be content no matter what state I'm in. And that includes New York. No, and no matter what state I'm in. No matter what job you have, long as you're working for Jesus, no matter what you're eating, long as you're giving thanks for that, no matter the roof that you have over your head or the fact that you don't have a roof over your head, no matter your retirement plan or your lack of retirement plan, no matter the vessel, amen, that you're in this life, learn to be content where you are. As I was going through Scripture, I was looking up the folks who aren't content, the whiners, the mully grubbers, the complainers of God. God doesn't like complaining. When you complain about where you are because of what God is bringing you through, then you're showing a lack of faith. God's saying, I love you. I have plans for you. I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. I want to bring you into a promised land. Remember, He was saying that to Israel just before they're going into bondage under Nebuchadnezzar. And God said, listen, I got a plan for you. I have an end for you. This here, it is going to work out. But just hold on there. When you go into the land that you're going into bondage in, sell your, have trade, buy fields, give and take in marriage. Be a blessing to those people that you're going to be in bondage under. And I promise you, I will bring you out. At a given day, at a given time, I will bring you out and I will show you the fullness that I have planned for you. So be content right there. Have confidence in God, in His Word, in His righteousness. And He'll work all these things out in His timing. Amen? Has so little to do with me. I love that about God. He didn't ask me if I wanted to go this way. He said, this is the way I want you to go. It's going to be hard. There are going to be times of darkness. There's going to be times of hurt. There's going to be times of unsurety. Of course. Trust me. And I will bring you through that time. And that's where we're going to talk about today. To be confident and content in Christ Jesus. Because through faith, I know that I am under His wings of protection. I'm in the midst of where He wants me to be simply because I'm obedient to what He says. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for that. Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your righteousness, for Your goodness, for Your Word, for the promises that You have in Your Word, Lord, that You have taught us and shown us the great grace and the mercy of the one true God. Lord, that we can come before You and trust You. Father, just help us to build our faith that it is Your Word that sets us free. It's Your love that gives us liberty, Father. It's Your Word that keeps us safe. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. To have real contentment and real confidence in Christ Jesus, you must give most, right? Is that what He asked? Does God ask you to give most? All right, say that again. All. How much does God want us to give? All of our confidence to Him. We must give all of ourselves to Him. The good, bad, and the ugly, to
coined an old spaghetti western, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Right? Anyhow, to give everything that is in you, surrounds you, that you might glorify God in the midst of where you are, no matter what. Amen. To have that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful thing. Proverbs chapter 3, and it's the whole chapter, okay, but I'm going to just focus on a couple of verses here. The whole chapter talks about just trusting God with everything that you have. Everything that is in you, just really trusting Him, and He'll bring you through whatever trial comes your way. He won't relieve you out of it, but He will bring you through it. Amen? And so in verses, I just have 25 and 26 written down here, so that's what we'll... Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, which when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. These two verses, actually, and as I went back and I read the whole chapter, this chapter of Proverbs here is teaching us that when we are walking with God, when we are trusting Him, that no matter what happens, we have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to fear. There's nothing that's going to come against you that's going to take you out of the righteousness of God. He loves you, and He's allowing these things to come into your life that He might strengthen you, that He might comfort you, that your faith would grow all the more in Him. Amen. Your faith needs to grow. God doesn't grow our faith, as it was saying, on the mountaintops. Mountaintops are great. Amen. I love to be up on the mountaintop. I can see everything that's going on. I'm comfortable. There's a cool breeze up there. And it's just relaxing to the body. But you know what? I don't grow on the mountaintops. I never have. When things were all going my way, when everything was pretty and plum and there were no storms in my life, I wasn't growing there. I was actually relaxing there. My growth didn't come until I got off of the mountaintop and I got into the valley. When I got to the hard places of God, when sudden death was coming, when the bad news came on you, when you did lose your wife, when you did lose your loved one, when you did lose your job, when you did lose your finances, that's when I started to grow. When the things that were entrapping me of this world were being taken away from me, that's when my faith began to grow in Christ Jesus. That's when I began to understand that no matter what happens to me, I am still in the midst of Him. Long as I walk with Him, I hunger for Him, I thirst for Him, He meets me in the midst of my lowest spot, and there He strengthens me. And it's taken years to understand that when I was a young Christian, oh, and something got took away from me. Oh, I kicked and I cried and I screamed. Oh, don't take that away from me. Don't take my health away from me. Don't take my wealth away from me. God, you don't love me anymore because I'm not being blessed financially the way that I was. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Well, when I got used to that being took away from me and I realized that God was still faithful, all right, I lost my money, but I gained faith. Because I saw God was faithful outside of my external circumstances, that God's truth still remained. Amen? His truth, His righteousness never left. My hope never left because His hope was in me and on me. So no matter what happened, the longer, again, I keep coming back. We got to sing this song again. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Right? The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. But you've got to love Him more. You've got to be strengthened through Him more. My faith, Kevin was asking a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago that we needed to hear more about faith. Well, to gain faith, you've got to go through the hard times. To gain faith, you've got to realize that He is faithful even when you cannot stand. When sudden destruction comes, He's faithful. When sudden death comes, He's faithful.
When the storms of life come, he's faithful. Our only job is to remain nestled underneath the sheltering wings of God, underneath the truth of his word. It does not matter anything that happens in this life. If we truly believe that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called for his purpose, if you really believe that there is nothing that can come against you in this life that should deter you from the faith that is found in God's word, it doesn't look good on the outside, but on the inside, I know I'm safe. It doesn't feel comfortable at the moment, but I know at the end it's going to work out a good thing. Why? Because I love God. And I have a confidence in Christ through his word that I am called to him and by him and for him. 21 of Proverbs chapter 3, my son, let not them depart, talking about the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, not let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, thank you, and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thy walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Amen? That's good news. When I keep the fear of God right before me, when I keep the honor of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God actively alive in my life, that I don't have to fear anything about about this life, because his word is life to my soul and it's grace around my neck. His mercy, his grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ is tighter around my neck than this tie, which I would like to loosen. So than this tie around my neck right now. I have confidence he has me collared to him. And that is the safest place I could be. I don't have to worry about anything that comes. He doesn't say it's going to be comfortable. He says it's going to be safe. Amen. It's not about our comfortableness. It's about our security in Christ Jesus, because we trust no matter what comes our way, it is his will. That's a hard thing, because I don't want to go through uncomfortable times. But I won't know Jesus deeply enough unless I walk through him through the valley of the shadow of death. I must walk with him as the hard times come, as the heartaches come, holding on to his truth further than the reality and the pain and the suffering that I'm feeling now. I have a promise in Christ Jesus. Amen? Flip over to Philippians. And this is where Paul comes to the same concept. And he had to learn this concept. It's Philippians chapter 4. Say amen when you get there. Let me ask you this. In verse 7 it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want that? Amen? Because when I look around at the things that are happening, it is unnerving. Amen? I'm looking at what's happening in Israel. That's unnerving to me. I've got to trust that this is in God's perfect will and his perfect plan. You say, well, how's the death of the innocent in God's perfect will and perfect plan? Well, first come to the understanding there is no innocent, right? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has a purpose and a plan for everything that is under heaven. I don't see the end of that plan yet, short of what's written in the Word of God. What I understand in the Word of God is that these things have got to, wars and rumors of war have got to come about. Suffering has got to come about before the glory of the kingdom comes. And me as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I must in my mind be prepared to embrace the suffering that I might share in the glory. I want the glory of God, but you can't have the glory of God without going through the sufferings of this life to get the glory of God. Now, in the heavenly realms, I'm already seated there. I'm already there. The only problem is I'm looking around me. I ain't seeing much glory.
right? I'm not seeing the glory of God, but by faith, I know it's coming. By faith, I know it's going to work out that way. Not because I have any control on anything that's going outside of my heart and my soul, but everything that is within my heart and my soul, in my inner being, I do have control over that. That's where you learn how to walk in the righteousness and the fullness of God. If you would read on down just to... All right, so this is how you do it. Verse 7, we started in, "And the peace which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true..." All right? What do you need? Set your mind on these things. What's true? There's a kingdom coming. All right? The word of God. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All right? So I'm seeking truth. What I'm seeing, the rapture is next week. That's not true. So I'm not holding on to that. I'm going to seek what is true. Truth says that I'm going to go through some hard times. I'm going to see the Antichrist rise, if it is within my years that God allows me to have, okay? I might pass on before it happens. But I know that those who are walking and standing in Jesus Christ will see that day, right? They will see that thing happen. "And whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." What do we spend our time thinking on? The babies that were beheaded last week, right? The ugliness that's going on in Guatemala right now. Those are real things, don't get me wrong. But are we spending so much time in that we're missing the righteous, holy works of God in the midst of these things? Yeah. In the midst of this ugliness, do you know that God's holy righteousness, his plan, is still working out? You got to believe that beyond the news cycle. You've got to believe that. You've got to hold on that God is absolutely on the throne, that this is his plan, his righteousness, his word. He's working these things out for his goodness. That's the truth that I'm looking into. That's the pureness I'm looking into. That's the loveliness that I'm seeing. Not in the midst of the storm, but after the storm passes, there's a promise coming out. There's a promise coming out, and I'm looking to that. I'm looking to his truth, his righteousness. I'm looking for that praise. I'm looking for the virtue of the word of God coming out and living in us, through us, that a lost and dying world might find hope. You're not going to find hope on Fox News, amen? You're not going to find hope on the war in Israel. You won't find hope in the evilness that's going on in the world. You find hope like Noah found hope in the ark. Before the flood came, what did Noah have to do? He had to build an ark out of a certain thing. He had to prepare stuff. We need to get spiritually prepared for the physical wrath of God. Now, the church won't experience wrath, but we will experience the tribulation that leads up to the wrath. We need to be mentally, spiritually, physically prepared as much as we can to walk in the virtues and the honesty and the purity and the love of God as long as you have breath in you. Amen? Because I, like Alan said, I don't know when my last day is. I don't know when the last breath I will take will happen, but from this day to that day, I must be content no matter what state I am and not be a whiner, mully grubber. I have some words coming through my mind that I don't want to say. I guess, living without faith, being consumed by the thought of the moment. Amen? And so, verse 9, "So those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace be with you." So whatever Paul did, and I pray that this would be your life too. Who here could say, "See how I'm living? I want you to live like that because I'm following Christ. I want
Church, I want Jesus Christ to be so alive in your life that you're so focused on peace and love and virtue and the righteousness of God that whoever sees you, they want to take that lifestyle and put it into their life. Not because you're anything, but because everything you are is Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what Paul's saying. Everything that's in me, you do it. As I follow the Lord, you follow me. Be ye followers of me as I follow the Lord, I think it says in 1 Corinthians. And so in that, my lifestyle must be so representing Jesus Christ that when a lost and dying world is fearful, they find confidence. Not in me, but in the Christ that I serve. And they'll come to you and say, Kevin, how are you so calm in all of this? Where's your peace? How do you find this peace? And then you have the opportunity to see, my peace doesn't come within. My peace comes without. My peace comes from God and God alone. My victory is not in this world, of this world, but through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Thy rod and thy staff, they strengthen me. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Church, I think where I keep saying this, I think, I feel, I sense deep within my soul, we're coming onto a time that is going, and I say this every week, all right, I'm not saying it out of fear, I'm saying it as get ready. We're coming on a time in America that none of our ancestors have seen. We're going to come into a time of persecution, of true hardships that we have not seen. And if we're not learning how to be content now, when the water's just starting to rise, you will panic when the water's over your head. Anyhow, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also you were also careful, but ye lacked the opportunity. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, now catch that, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right? These things that we're talking about, living through these hard times, if you're trying to do it without Jesus Christ, you cannot do it. But you can do how many things? All things. How? Through Christ, which strengthens you. We need to learn. How do you learn anything? You know, looking at the outside of your Bible, you can't learn anything, right? When it's closed on your bookshelf, you're not learning anything. Several years ago, I gave a Bible to an individual that I worked with, and he worked with me for a while, then he left. And several years after that, he said, we ran into each other. I asked, how you doing? He says, I'm doing okay. I said, have you been reading your Bible? He says, no, but I travel with it everywhere. I said, that does you no good. You can ride with the Bible in your back seat and not get any closer to God. I moved it to the front seat. Well, still, unless you open it up and see the righteousness of God, the faithfulness of God through all the ages, it does you no good. You've got to open this word and you've got to learn through it. I will not learn how to stand in the midst of trial without this book alive in my heart. Not just in my mind, but in my heart, in the very essence of who I am. I have to Christ in be in me. I have to have Jesus Christ not just in my mind, but in me. His righteousness in me, my hope in Him, and walk by faith and not by sight. We must learn how to do that. Especially as we see these days getting darker and darker. As we see the day of the Lord coming. All right, I ask this every week and everybody agrees with me. So if you don't agree with me this week, let me know why. All right. Do you see the day approaching?
Yes.
All right. I mean, all right, so what are you doing? What are you doing to prepare for it? Because it's coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's coming. Have you learned how to be content in Christ Jesus? If you only had the word that you've memorized, that you've implanted in your heart, and you lose your house, you lose your retirement, you lose your car. Roberto, he said that there's a guy who went to Mexico and brought back gasoline to sell. He was selling it for 85 American dollars a gallon. $85 a gallon. Are you content? Are you content in Jesus Christ when there is no food on the shelf? Are you content in Jesus Christ when the only warmth you have is the clothes on your back? When you lose your house, when you become a refugee, when you're walking away from everything, when the weight of this world has overwhelmed you on every side, learning through suffering how to be content. You start here. The battle begins in the mind. And you can only know the mind of God through the truth of God, through His Word. Knowing that He gave me certain promises, that He would never leave me, He would never forsake me. Do you know that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you? But you got to believe that as you walk through the hardships, as your wife leaves, as your child dies. Lord forbid that that ever happens. But as that happens, you need to trust Jesus Christ in the midst of that happening. As your health fails, right? I've watched Justin over the last 12 years that I've known him. I've seen his body fall apart right before my eyes. But I've also seen his faith grow right before my eyes. He doesn't look at what he's lost. He's always, every time we talk to him, he says, "Praise God for my salvation." He's looking for the blessed hope. He's learned to be content no matter what state he is in. Oh, I hate to use you as an example, but you said up front, it's your fault. So, right? I could go with Alan too, right? I remember before he had the hitch in his giddy-up, right? He always loved the Lord. He always walked, as long as I have known him, I won't say forever in your whole life, but he always feared God. He always honored God. And then God allowed a 300-pound block of ice to fall on his back of his neck and cripple him. Yeah. You know what he does? He still loves the Lord. He still serves God. He still honors God with no matter what state he's in. Dave, I've watched him over the last 15 years, how this disease has taken him from health to where he is now. I've watched him love God. I've watched him serve God. I've watched him honor God with his life every single day. He's learned how to be content no matter what state he's in. It doesn't mean happy. It means content. I'm sure if I could, I would give you my help, right? That you might have. But I know this, that Jesus Christ has given us his help as we pass through this time of trial. There is a great promise on the other side. I have learned to be content no matter what state I am. Judy, you content?
Yes.
Amen. You're content. You're going through some hard times. Amen. It's happening. We have got to learn how to be content with Christ Jesus. If we know the promises that he has for us, not in this life, but the life to come, that the reward doesn't come now. The reward comes later. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth. Seek for the peace and the love and the being seated in the Most High God. I can't get there unless I go through where I'm at. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will bring you. If you walk with me, if you let me lead you, if you yoke up next to me, you come along beside Jesus Christ, he will bring you through all of these times, all of these trials, all of these heartaches, all of these hurts. And at the end of it, if you don't faint at the end of it, you will have a reward. Again, 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 9. 1 Timothy 6,
6 through 9 saying? Then again, I hate just to jump through the verses and stuff, but if I read every single word to you, it would take a lot longer, all right? Amen? But godliness with contentment is great gain, all right? So before he says that, he says, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to holy, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting and questioning strife of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings, thank you. I could not get that word. Surmisings, thought processes, right? Surmisings, perverse disputes of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So all these other things that he talked about they're not worth anything. The great gain is being content with Christ. For we brought nothing into this world. Amen. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. No, what are we supposed to be content with? You got food in your belly, you got clothes on your back.
The promise.
Amen. That's what God promises we can have. All of the other stuff we have outside of food and raiment is just the goodness of God. He allows me to have a house. You know, the house ain't mine. In fact, I would dare say the raiment that I have isn't mine. God gave it to me. The food that he... You know why he asked us to pray over our food? To realize that it comes from him. You know, and to realize that God loves you so much that he gave you the things you have. Loaned it to you. Because we know we came in with nothing and we're leaving with nothing, right? And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Get away from the love of money, the lust that it draws you there in. The most content people that I have ever seen are the folks that are not wrapped up in this world. Amen. You want to see somebody happy? They're not worried about how they're going to feed their family. They say, all right, God, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to work. I'm going to make a living, but then I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to meet where I can't meet. I'm going to trust you to move where I can't move. I'm going to trust you to feed me when I can't feed myself. How are you going to do that? I don't know. But I trust that God's going to do it. So I'm going to, sometimes I might have to pray over an empty table. The time has not come yet. You know, but there may be a day that we have to pray over an empty table and see what food God brings. And it may be Brussels sprouts. Right? I love Brussels sprouts. I'm thinking something that isn't tasty. It may be, she doesn't like Brussels sprouts. But think about it. It might be manna. Right? It may be manna. It might be something you pick up off the ground in the morning that's not going to last to the evening. It might be a crumb of bread that a crow drops out of his mouth as he flies by your door.
Sushi.
It may be sushi. Yeah, sushi. Old sushi from Wegmans.
No thanks.
But he says, pray over it. Amen. Pray over it. Be thankful for it. Expired sushi from Wegmans. I would suggest not eating. But if that's what God gave you, cook it.
Amen. Just because it's sushi doesn't mean you got to eat it raw. Just got to put some wasabi on there. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, a little whiskey sour sauce.
I pray that he sends me something else.
Learn to be content. Amen. Learn to be content with whatever you have.
Curtis?
Yes, my brother.
But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. My God will supply all your what? Did it say wants? It was needs. It's need. Need. All your need. He will bring you what you need. Not what you want. See, God really doesn't care about your wants. Amen? What you need, I'll take care of. But what you want? What does someone really need?
You know, he has given me some of my wants.
Oh, yes. Amen. He will give you some of your wants. But he promises what you need, you'll have. Yes. But out of his mercy, he'll give you your wants. He'll meet you. He doesn't mind you having a car. Amen? But don't let it be a draw. Don't let it be a snare. He doesn't mind you having money in your checking account. He really doesn't. It's a fiat system. It doesn't mean anything. It's just ink printed on cloth. Right? But he allows you to have that. But he promises you this, that if you walk with him, you'll never go hungry. Doesn't mean that you'll eat what you want to eat. You'll eat what you need to eat. Amen? He'll keep you in health. Right? Now, it may not be what you think is healthy, but he says, I got weeds out there that'll make you healthy if you drink this tea long enough. Ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. Right? I'm learning that as I'm doing some of this herbal medicine stuff. And from what I'm finding about that, it isn't that it heals you from your sickness, but it keeps you from being sick. So if you start it now, and you drink that tea, that all self-heal tea, and you drink sage and stuff like that. You drink that tea on pine pollen. You start taking pine pollen or stinging nettle tea and stuff like that. You start taking it. It builds up your immunity, so when sickness does come, it doesn't touch you. God has a way. And he will heal you. He has that power. It is in the things that we have. Sorry, I ran down that dirt trail for a little while. Food and raiment, be content. But if you desire to be rich in this world, it will become a temptation and a snare to you. It will bring you down. Psalm 18 in verse 8 says this, 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's better to trust God. It's better to trust God than your riches. It's better to trust God than your government. It's better to trust God than to trust another man. I mean, as much as I teach up here, trust God more. Go back and check these things out. See if they're real. See if what I'm telling you is the righteousness of God. And then follow that. There's some things that we're told throughout the Word of God, but in Hebrews, the more I read Hebrews, the more I like it. Amen? And so, I didn't write the chapter. I love it when I do that. Yeah, I think it's chapter 10. When I read the rest of the verse there. Yep, it is chapter 10. And so in chapter 10 in Hebrews, God is telling us that his law is a shadow of the good things to come. He's telling us to enter into the throne room of grace with boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ, the new and living way, right? That's in verses 19 and 20 and the beginning of chapter 10. When you get over to chapter 30, or verse 35, 35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, and that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. All right. I love verse 11, chapter 1. But all the rest of the stuff, we're going to back up and look at it. But my faith has got to be the evidence of things that are not materialized yet. There's a kingdom coming. I've not seen it. All right. Jesus Christ died for the sin of the world. I never met him in flesh, right? I met him in spirit. He called me. I know him. I know his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. I lead them in and out of pasture. John chapter 10, right? And he says that. Now, in this, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. If you're not sure that the Word of God is the truth, your confidence can be cast away, right? If you're not really grounded in the fullness of the knowledge of God through the written Word of God, somebody can come up and knock you off of that because you're not really grounded in it. But when you are sure that Jesus came and died for your sin, that he said, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you, that I have you, that as long as you walk in my righteousness, as long as you want to be there, you can be underneath the feather, underneath the sheltering of God's protection. No matter what happens to your physical being, God loves you and has prepared a place for you. You believe that? You're confident in that? No man, no angel, no, nothing can take you out of the hand of God, out of that resting place, that bowl of God's will, long as you want to stay there. So don't cast away your confidence in that. Don't let me or Tom or name some big Bible teacher, MacArthur or Stanley or Oralstein. Oralstein. That's,
or Beth Moore.
Or Beth Moore. Or like I said, me or Tom or anybody else. If we're leading you away from that sanctuary of Jesus Christ, do not believe that. If we're leading into you can do better to get more of God, you have everything of God you'll ever need. It's just locked up. Once you believe by faith, it is released in you, the power to do things outside of yourself because of the grace of God which dwells within you. Are you ready to do that, though? See, that's the hard part. It's easy to say when I'm sitting here with my house and the central heating and air. It's easy to say when I got more food in my freezer than I can eat. It's easy to say when I got more than one pair of shoes. But when you're in Roberto's place, you go to the grocery store, there's nothing there to eat. All right? When you go to the well and there's no water there, Tom, right? Have you learned to trust God? When you go to the mirror and you look like this, you know. God, see, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. What I see is a lie. And I need to push forth to the truth. Don't cast away my confidence in Christ, which has the recompense of reward, the promise, the payment of reward. As I believe him, there's a reward as I walk by faith. Amen? Well, this thing's happening in my life and I don't want it to happen. Big deal. Tom, it's not about you, right? Hey, Steve, it's not about you. Not about you. Well, I don't want this to happen. Do you trust God? Do you really trust that all things are going to work out for good? Well, I don't want it to happen. Okay, stop pitching a fit. Suck it up, Buttercup. Right? Stop whining about it. Well, that's not the job I wanted. Do you have a job? Well, yeah, I have a job. I don't want that job. Too bad. You got a job. This is not the body that I wanted. I wanted to grow up and be a truck driver.
right? I wanted, that's what Justin wanted to do, is he wanted to drive 18-wheelers all over America. That's what, that was his job. And now he drives a wheelchair, right? Well, be content no matter where you're at in Christ Jesus. You know what? If he would have became a truck driver, he may not have become a Christian, right? Amen? Yeah, it could have very well happened that way. And God said, this is what I know is going to keep you right with me, Justin, instead of 18 wheels rolling, moving on, right? Now, remember that? 18 wheels moving, rolling on. Anyhow, I don't know where it came from, out of the backs of my mind. God gave him what he has, and with that, he has learned to be content with it. Not that that's what he wanted out of his life, but that's what God gave him. And he praises God for his salvation. Alan, he didn't want to walk on, I could go through a list of people. Dave, that's not what you wanted, but that's what you got. Are you happy that God loves you where you're at? Amen. Amen. How about you, Alan? You happy where God loves you right there? What you get, hitching your giddy up.
The hitching the giddy up, yes. Yeah. I'm not content where I am with God, though.
Oh, amen.
I want to go further.
Amen.
Deeper.
Thank you. Don't become complacent. Don't get complacency mixed up with contentment.
Right.
You should always be growing. You should always be reading. Always gaining more ground for Christ Jesus. Don't be so content that you don't do that. That's when you become complacent in Christ. And still water only breeds bacteria. Right? The Dead Sea, why is it a Dead Sea? Because the water comes in, but it doesn't go out. You got to have that continually flowing of the faith of God coming in you, working itself out of you. You're not made to be a container. You're made to be a leaky vessel. You know, God made you a leaky vessel that you could pour what he puts in you out to other people and that you might grow. You know, God will never fill up a full cup, you know, but he'll fill an empty cup over and over and over again. But if your cup is full, he'll stop filling it. Pour it out, Kevin. You want more of me? Take what I've given you, give it out. And then see, and then get to know me more. Learn more of me. Amen. Thanks for that point.
The thing that sustains us in life.
Yes.
Both breathing and blood are in motion.
Amen. Amen. Yes, they're in motion.
If they stop, you stop.
All nature hates a void. A vacancy. It'll fill up with something. That's where Jesus talked about the young man had the demon, the devil cast out of him. And he said, the devil leaves and he runs around in dry places and then he comes back and finds out the room, the house that he left is clean and in shape, but empty. Then he comes back with seven more devils and he becomes seven times worse the son of Satan than what he was. I added, twisted up some scripture there. But the jest is correct.
There's a difference between being comfortable and content.
Hey, thank you.
God doesn't want you comfortable.
Right.
He wants you
content.
And you're content in him.
Amen.
You.
Right. Not you got it. And that's where he talks about walking and living by faith. Confidence and contentment is not because of inaction, right? It's because you are working your faith out day by day. You're working his righteousness out in you. You're living by faith and not by sight. The things that come into your life, if you really believe that God is the God of the Bible, if you really believe that, no matter what happens on the outside, you learn to find your joy in the no matter what state I'm in, therewith I've learned to be content. Now, he was in jail. Paul was in jail when he wrote that. He was content there. Why? Although he was in chains, the word of God wasn't chained. He was still preaching and teaching and loving and moving, right? In your life, if you really live by faith, no matter what happens on the exterior, the interior is still secure in Jesus Christ, in his word, in his righteousness, not yours. So if we can today,
Because we're seeing some things. And I think the reason God's got me on this kick here is I really and truly think the scripture's real, that we're going to see some very difficult times in the near future. And if we're only looking at the external things that are happening, we're going to be wiped away. You won't be able to stand. Again, it brings that parable that Jesus talked about, building upon the rock or building upon life's shifting sands. What are you connected to? If you're really living by faith, you dig down past the external to the thing that cannot move. And I only know one thing that does not change, and that is God and His Word. It is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to be truly dug down and secure in that truth of God's Word. Because when the trials of life come, when the storm comes, if you're not secured in Him, you will not stand. But if you are, even though the wind beats against you vehemently, I think Jesus says, real hard, you'll be able to stand. The building will stand. My faith is going to stand in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to be overly concerned. I'm not going to be worried about the next flu that's coming out this flu season. Right? I'm not going to be concerned. I'm not worried about that. The wars and rumors of wars. We went over that a little bit this morning. He says, and the end is not yet. All right. There's wars, there's rumors. Horrible things are happening. And again, I could jump on that bandwagon for a second, but that's not what's important. What is important is that we don't get caught up in the news cycle. That we don't get caught up in the temporary things that we're seeing. Speaking of, how fast does the news cycle move? Have you heard anything else about the fires from Hawaii?
Right.
People still aren't welcome back in the land. There, have you heard any? Well, no. They got a new whiz-bang over here to look at. Worry about this. Don't worry about that. Worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about none of it. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, in His Word. Climate change, right? We just saw that God promised to Noah that winter and summer, hot and cold, the seasons are going to turn. They're going to happen. But
global warming's coming.
Yeah. With a fervent heat. Amen. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for it. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for Your Word, for Your goodness. Lord, I pray that You would give us confidence, Lord, and that no matter what comes, we would learn to be content, not in the things of this world, but our contentment would come from You, through You. Lord, help us to know the truth that sets us free. Lord God, and we thank You and we praise You for that. Teach us Your way, Lord God, that we would not sin against You. Help us to hide Your Word in our heart, Lord, that Your righteousness would be seen through us, that they would see our good works and they would glorify the God whom we serve. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.